Welcome to Hot Yoga Radio, this fine July day, 2021. I'm taking my constitutional, there's no doubt you can hear. Today, I want to talk about the mental health consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic. And to expand on the reflections that I come up with. If you go back over our podcasts, you'll find that we were commenting on the pandemic early on, even before the first lockdown, which is now some time ago. And even in our early reflections then, we were pretty sure there would be mental health ramifications, partly due to people being banged up together. And remember that the first lockdown was sort of quite severe. We don't normally share a space, and under conditions where perhaps you've got sort of large families or large groupings with a small living space, and when normally most of them would be out at work or in bed at different times, and this that and the other, there's nothing like that kind of conditions for bringing out the potential conflicts in human relations. And we also imagine the consequence for already dysfunctional relationships, you know, where there's domestic abuse and that kind of thing. So we spotted it early on, and of course it didn't take long for the professionals to be noticing some ruptures in the fabric of society due to stress and stress-induced mental illness. Today, I watched a brief interview with Professor David Nutt, who's an interesting chap. And he was being interviewed on Russia Today by Ashvin Ratsani, who's a very good interviewer. Whatever you think of Russia Today and the fact that it's financed by the Russian government, that particular interviewer, I would say, is very sharp, quite reliable. And inasmuch as journalists have got any sense, he does seem to have a little bit. And it was a good interview with David Nutt, and Professor Nutt was asked about the government's handling of the COVID pandemic, and he expressed an opinion, of course, and made a remark about the mental health consequences of the pandemic, and saying how this would run and run. That you've got a lot of momentum and its consequences would roll down over time. And he made the remark that 50% of frontline health workers, nurses, doctors, have got PTSD. So it's like the medical profession itself is being afflicted just by the sheer overwork, the pressure put on them, the expectation on the part of the public that they would do good, that they would save us, they're there to save us. All of this in a context where many thousands, many tens of thousands of healthcare workers have actually left the NHS, in fact left the country because of Brexit, and Professor Nutt remarked upon this. So the whole thing's a recipe for absolutely catastrophic stress on many health workers. Now, you might want to lay all this at the feet of an act of God, the black swan event of a pandemic. You may want to lay it at the feet of the economic system. You may want to lay it at the feet of a certain cultural failing. Maybe our culture makes people lacking in resistance to hard times. And there are plausible sounding explanations can come from any of these directions. And I would want to say that to get the full picture, you need to look in the round. And a good way of doing this is to address urinalysis from different angles of view, with each angle of view being based on a particular subsystem of the system, which is the whole which sustains human life in society. Now, I do want to say, yeah, capitalism's to blame. It clearly is. But at the same time, well, a particular strand and variety of capitalist culture is also to blame. You know, this is a cultural blame, which would be the ill-preparedness for a pandemic, when every epidemiologist on the planet has been saying for a long time there will be a pandemic. This is at a time when President Trump, and no doubt other leaders, have reduced the funding to global bodies, which were in fact trying to do that, trying to keep track of what viruses are in the wild, what zoonosis is happening, and so forth, and, you know, to be doing research on vaccines and so forth. And now liberalism, of course, having discouraged government intervention in the economy and in life in general, has produced a culture in which government officials and representatives simply don't have the culture. They don't have the ways of thinking about what to do in emergencies like this, which is why our particular government managed so badly. And for that, there's a kind of a cultural blame, even though that culture, neoliberalism, is a culture that was fashioned over 40 years for promoting the interests of the oligarchical class, the really, really big, rich people, oil money primarily, over and against the interests of working people who were discouraged from unionising and promoting their own interests at all. And who were told that, you know, you're an individual, you don't have to belong to a class or any kind of cultural grouping. It's just society is composed only of individuals. You know, to the extent that Mrs. Thatcher would say, there's no such thing as society, only individuals. I mean, that culture has been promoted officiously for 40 years by every kind of media outlet and on every kind of political stump, including those which ostensibly represent Labour, working people, and I say, like the new Labour Party of Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. So there's what you might say is an idealist explanation. It's to do with the ideas that are floating around, the context of discourse, ideas, concepts, into which the pandemic lands and into which and which form the context in which policies and measures are devised and taken. So it's got a slightly idealist explanation. Some real sort of hard-line, old-fashioned Marxists might say, well, no, you know, you're not being material enough there. You're not being materialist enough. You're not grounding it in the productive life of a society and in the economy. And I would say at that point, yes, we need a materialist analysis too. And that says that there is pressure from the economy to maintain production, and from the owners of the economy, you might call them, the oligarchical class, the shareholding class, there is pressure on their part not to shut down the economy because there's a pandemic. And if some people die, some people die. Because the bottom line is what counts. And I think that's true enough. And certainly the Johnson government sought to protect those interests because they are the party of those interests. But we can take this line a little further. And we can realise that capitalism has myriad mental health consequences, quite apart from the black swan of a pandemic. And this is where the specific consideration of the COVID-19 epidemic leads us. It leads us into a much more general picture of capitalism and its mental health consequences. I mean, these stem from the gross inequality that capitalism produces and needs to produce. With even in the richest countries, people in grinding poverty, people who are homeless, people whose communities have been fragmented. When, for instance, a company town turns into a hellscape when the company ships all of its production out to China or Vietnam, without any provisions being made to soothe that transition, without any provisions being made by the government to provide safety nets, or certainly adequate safety nets are not provided in these situations. And that produces catastrophic disintegration of families and communities. And people turn to drugs and alcohol and crime, quite naturally, out of the pain of having the rug ripped from under them. And fair enough. And that's part and parcel of the capitalist game, and has been since its inception, starting with enclosures in the British countryside, throwing people off their little parcels of land, their commonly held land, with which they could sustain life, they could provide their families with some kind of food security, and just ripping that security from under people, so that they're forced to migrate to cities to operate in mills and factories and in the new industrial production. So, you know, capitalism's there, you know, as an absolute machine for producing mental health problems, for producing disease. You know, the true meaning of the word disease, and it does that in abundance. Now, this question of, well, is this material, is it cultural? Because there's always a culture provided to support and justify the acts of the capitalists in the sort of nefarious treatments of ordinary people. Maybe it's Christianity, and certainly in 19th century British capitalism, Christianity played a huge role. And both providing some kind of mental, ideal, imaginary compensation for people, or some promise of some mitigation of the suffering in the future, even postponed to the afterlife. And this Christianity, of course, was able to do this for slaves in the American South. But certainly historically Christianity, and we must distinguish Christianity from the teachings of Christ, I'm afraid. Christianity has tried to justify inequality. And of course, there's that famous Victorian hymn, "The rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate. God made them high and low, each to his own estate." And in this current situation, there have been a peddling of ideological narratives to basically serve the status quo, in a situation of great difficulty, in which there is some danger of the population sinking into civil unrest. So there was a question in amongst all that which I'd like to return to. And you'll notice I asked the question, is this materialist, or is it idealist? In other words, are we thinking it's the ideas that matter, the discourses, the stories, the narratives, the lies, and true information peddled through the various news outlets and media, etc.? Is that what counts most? Is that what changes things? Is that what we need to understand what's going on? Or is it the material? Is it to do with the economy? Does everything come down to the economy, as crude Marxists like insist? And I would say you need to understand both, and you need to understand the connections between them. Then you're on a way to understanding the mental health problems which are the corollary of the pandemic, in which anybody with a little bit of foresight could have seen coming a mile off. Now, to the crude Marxist, I would say that Engels addressed this problem. I think this is in the book about the family and private property. And I always call it the Engels' book on the family, which is an absolutely great book. In that book, Engels remarks that culture, which he and Marx called the superstructure, and base, by which he meant the economy and the modes of production and so forth, are completely entangled with each other. And that neither he nor Marx were a reductionist about that. And this is what he says, is it? Only in the last analysis does the base, the material base, what actually happens in the world of production and the economy and markets and so forth, determine the way things unfold and eventually what people experience. Only in the last analysis. For all intents and purposes, ideas are material forces. And material forces produce ideas. And I would want to say that there's no way out of that. And it's not particularly desirable or useful to think and get deterministic about the kind of analysis we need to understand mental health problems in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic and in the wider context of the capitalist economy and culture that we live in. And I've already hinted as to how capitalism itself, you know, with its disregard for calls for equality, with its promotion of the bottom line as that which matters, and given its specific modes of production, in which ownership and control of production and all the supporting aspects of society is in the hands of a few people rather than in the hands of everybody. And this, of course, has its own psychological consequences too. I mean, Marx talked about alienation. I think this is a concept that needs expanding to encompass any of the disease that we can trace directly to the conditions that people live in our current economy and cultural context. Now, there's another wrinkle to all this. When I try and discuss these big problems, I often invoke three huge subsystems, themselves consisting of many, many subsystems, which make up the whole system which sustains human life. And I talk about the economic, the cultural, but also I talk about the ecological. And the unskillful and unwise human engagement with the ecosphere, the ecological system, in the context of capitalism and the attendant cultures, is itself productive conditions for mental ill health. And we do get some of the more romantic therapists like to tell people they have a nature deficit and to go for a walk in the hills. And it works to an extent. But it is a little bit romantic. In fact, I think you can be a little bit more down to earth about that. It is something like the COVID-19 pandemic is a direct result of environmental degradation. The destruction of habitats bring wild animals closer to domestic animals, and then enhance the possibility of zoonosis, which is the species jump. It's usually what starts off a pandemic, and you know, which is the spread of a novel pathogen. With novel to humans, but not novel out there amongst bats and pangolins and pigs and so forth. Also intensive agriculture, very, very destructive of the ecosphere on which we all depend. Intensifies the possibility of pandemics. So just on that very prosaic level. And human health does depend on the general health of the biosphere, not only with regard to the quality of food, but also with regard to the quality of air and water. And much of our industrial production has polluted water and for drinking and air for breathing in many, many parts of the planet. Because there is no due regard in capitalist and capitalist culture for the role of the ecological systems in sustaining human life. We die without it. So superstructure and base intertwined, and the whole thing intertwined with the ecosphere. And give plenty of weight to all of those. Obviously, different analyses can weight certain focuses differently, and that's fair enough. So we can sum this up. You know, environmental degradation means people live in crowded places, don't have proper nutrition, proper water. Capitalism means that very often a lot of people are reduced to poverty. And even when they perhaps start getting things together, that suddenly, under capitalism, their communities can fracture as economic activity moves elsewhere under the necessities of capitalism to make profits. And in a culture which is based on lies because it supports a system and justifies a system, which doesn't really enhance human flourishing, either on an individual level or a social level. People are banged up in factories and told that this is the right thing to do, or banged up in Amazon warehouses. This is how life is. Suck it up. And they're sort of going quietly mad from alienation, which is, I would say, is a very varied form of mental disease that can, for some people, quickly slide into paranoia, anxiety, depression. I mean, I also certainly found working in factories just very, very depressing experience, and I was never able to stand it for very long. But I have experienced, and it was very formative for me to think that some people spend, you know, 50 years of their working life in basically a condition of slavery for at least one third of the day for 5 days a week, and of course in some parts of the world much longer. And then are told that they can't organise to campaign to get their conditions improved. And told in fact that they are in some way immoral or reprehensible or unpatriotic or something if they have such notions. That's the ideological component, the cultural component. So mental health problems are built into this system, and in the way this system treats the ecosphere without which we cannot live, and the toxic cultures which this system throws up as the mental psychological component of its own self-maintenance. So COVID, I think, is just one instance. It's a very powerful and strong instance, and a lot of people are going to be reeling from isolation, from having their patterns disrupted. People like routine, you know, having their patterns disrupted. Being made to suddenly feel that the world's not as secure as you might have thought it was. That's uncomfortable for people, and some people just will succumb to some kind of breakdown or ongoing chronic disease as a result of the naturally occurring anxieties. Which pertain to this context. Okay, I'm coming down towards the town now, and I hope I've made a little bit of sense. It's a bit of a ramble. Okay, look after yourselves. Thank you to patrons that help us to keep this going. And be aware that we are making plans for future work and a few slightly different initiatives perhaps into the future. and wash your hands and make knowledge great again. Over and out.